Take out your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. I may not get through with this today. It may take me 2 weeks to do this, but I want to teach a series today, or just start a talk called Dealing with Resistance. Dealing with Resistance. James chapter 4. We're going to read about 10 verses in James, and then we're going to talk about it for a little bit. James chapter 4. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're lost, just ask your neighbor next to you where to go, and they will help you, okay? Say, where do I need to go in the Word here to get to that? James chapter 4, verse 1. All right, here we go. Starts right off with the question. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. That's the response that they took to not being able to obtain. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what of God? An enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives us more grace? Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, with that knowledge in mind, what do? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not if he wants to, he has to. Under the condition that we are submitted to God. Submit to the Lord, and the devil must go. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and who will lift you up? He. Who can stand against what he does? No one can stand against what he does. But he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and God will do a miraculous work in your life. Everyone knows what it's like to face resistance. Anybody understand what it's like to face some resistance in your life? Well, there's some of you that say they're not saying anything. Let me say that. Anybody know what it's like to face resistance? Yes. I feel a little bit better. I feel like I'm in the right place. Have you ever tried something, and it just seemed like that your road was blocked by obstacles or problems, and it just didn't seem like it was going to happen? You know, brothers and sisters, life's not seamless. Resistance is a fact of life. And there's many reasons for resistance, and that's why what I want to talk about today and next week. Sometimes resistance happens just because of the imperfections of life. All right? We don't live in a perfect world. Sometimes we may be doing something that's good, and the resistance that we're encountering is from an enemy who has an opposing goal. In some instances, we may be doing something wrong, and we find ourselves trying to swim upstream against the Holy Spirit, and that's not a good place to be. But when encountering resistance, I always like to stop and seek God about what's going on. I always like to stop. Resistance in many ways is normal. It's a normal part of life, especially if you're walking with Christ, and especially if you're walking contrary to Him. But I always like to stop, and I always like to ask God, God, if I'm encountering resistance, what's going on in my life? Now, I know there are theological stances out there that believe that encountering resistance means you're definitely doing something wrong. Well, I disagree with that. Because you can be facing resistance because you're doing something right. And the devil doesn't like it. You got to beware of evaluating what's going on in your life by false scriptural doctrine. But I found out in my life that the devil doesn't deploy resources against someone who's not a threat against him. I have just found that out. I mean, why would the devil, who doesn't have limitless resources at his disposal, why would he want to employ resistance against someone who's destroying themselves? There's really no reason for that. And I do understand. My son tells me this sometimes. My son is about to be walking with God in a way that he never has before. But he, in the past, he has told me this. He has said, "Dad, what is it about, you know, I look around and I see a lot of people that don't follow God going through easy times with little resistance, and it seems like those who are following him are being resisted at every turn." Anybody ever ask God that question? My son asked that. Well, why would the devil need to employ resources against someone who's already lost? And why would he want to upset their apple cart? If they're walking down the pathway to destruction, why would he want to upset that? Why would he want to take resources away from someone who's not going to use them for the glory of God? They're going to serve them. They're going to use them for destruction and destruction in other people's lives. It makes perfect sense. Okay, I'll get off that for a second. Now, of course he's going to come after you if you're trying to follow God, if your heart is to follow the Lord, if you're walking in the Spirit. Because you're the threat. Now, if you're encountering resistance, like I said, you need to prayerfully examine the Word to find out the reason so that you can confidently overcome it. But James writes a little bit about resistance here. And for a couple of weeks, because I don't think I can rush through this today and don't want to rush through it, I want to talk about resistance and where it comes from. Resistance and where it comes from. Okay, the first type of resistance that I want to talk about today, just real quickly, is resistance from imperfections. Everybody say resistance from imperfections. You say, "Pastor Parkey, what are you talking about?" I'm glad you asked. Anybody ever been involved with an incompetent organization? Anybody ever been stuck on a long waiting list? Anybody ever had a flat tire? And no, I don't think the devil has a specific demon that goes around with a knife flattening people's tires. I know there's some people that think every time that happens, it's just a resistance from the devil. But we live with tires that have a lifespan on them. All right? And if you don't get your car aligned correctly and you don't drive exactly right and you hit that part of the road that you're not supposed to drive on, or the city doesn't fix the potholes, and things happen, eventually you're going to have a flat tire. Have you ever tried to work with a crash computer system? We have at the church, yes. Praise God, Steve and his buddies fixed it. Hallelujah. Anybody ever had to pay maintenance fees to keep something going? I watch house hunters sometimes, and they say, "Well, we have this budget, and they're going to move into this place, and it's all, had all these amenities." And they say, "How much are the homeowner's fees?" $700 a month. I'm like, that to me is a little bit steep. But all of those things, brothers and sisters, they slow life down, and sometimes they cost money. But a lot of them are just simply because we don't live in heaven. We don't live in heaven yet. Look at your neighbor and say, "This isn't heaven." Not yet. Not yet. It's not heaven. Okay? And a lot of people get really discouraged because of the imperfections of life and the resistance that comes through imperfections. They get impatient with the time that it takes to do things. And sometimes they actually get frustrated enough to be able to give up on a plan that God has given them to follow through with. And how do you deal with the imperfections of the world? There's a couple of things you can do about it. But one of the things that God is working in our lives through the imperfections of the world is something called perseverance. You say, I don't want to learn that. Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter what you want to learn. If you're walking with Christ, He is the authority. He is the one that makes the decisions about what you need and what you don't need. He knows the areas of life that you need to be sharpened in. He knows the crosses you need to die upon. He knows the resurrections that need to happen in your life. He's the one that's going to make a decision. I have had many talks with God, arguing with Him about the pathway that He has chosen for me. Anybody else had those talks with God? I have not won one of those arguments. Not one. We have not one time chosen to go my pathway. Now, He did tell me a couple of times, He said, well, let me tell you, it's up to you. If you want to go that way, you can go, but I won't be going that way with you. And so you have to sit there and you think, well, I don't want to go anywhere that God doesn't go with me. Can anybody say amen to that? And so therefore you choose His way. God has a way of blessing, a way to bless you. He has a pathway that you walk on. But just because you're God's child doesn't mean you're going to sail through life, never have to wait in line, never have to look for a parking place, never have to exercise patience or perseverance. Now, I do have a parking angel. I mean, I'm telling you, there's something, I've got an anointing on my life to get the parking place at the front of the building. I don't know what it is. I mean, if I were a scandalous preacher, then I'd go on TV and start selling access to a parking angel. Get your own parking angel. $1,000 and I can pray and assign you a parking angel. But let me tell you, it just does happen. And I don't know why. Now, you what? Now, this evening I'll go somewhere and I'll have to park way away. But you know, just because those things are happening in our lives, brothers and sisters, there is not the effect, just because we're children of God doesn't mean they're not going to happen. God needs to work some steel in our souls. Most of us are way too soft. We are soft Americans. We are used to getting what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And if we don't, our response to that is either to quit or to sit down and throw a hissy fit until we get what we want. And I've also realized that God never attends my pity parties. Now, He will wait until I'm ready to talk to Him. He'll sit there and wait until I'm ready to talk to Him about the situation. But when I'm coming doing all that commiserating and all that griping and all that complaining, He does not attend that or come into agreement with that or respond to that. God needs to work some perseverance into us. Things happen in life. Planes crash sometimes. I don't understand why. But it's real easy for me to get up there and give a trite theological answer to all of that. I remember when that flight crashed over at DFW years ago and all those people were killed. Everybody was sitting around trying to figure out why that happened. Well, they told us it was wind shear. But everybody would sit around trying to figure out a theological reason for that. And Pastor Bob says a lot, he says this a lot. He goes, you know, physical law, God has created physical law. And unless spiritual law is invoked over physical law will operate. Okay? And everybody was trying to say, well, somebody on that flight must have sinned. Well, there were believers on that plane. The guy that was flying the plane was a spirit-filled believer. He got to go to heaven. I got jealous. You know, there are some things worse than dying. Living without Jesus, that's worse than dying. All right? But let me tell you what Oswald Chambers, how he described perseverance. He described it this way. Perseverance, it is endurance combined with absolute assurance and certainty that what we are looking for is going to happen. Well, I'm going to endure through this. Well, God, I'll endure. I'm not going to be happy about it. And I'm going to have a bad attitude. And I'm going to be a griper and complainer. But I'll stay with it. God knows I will. Well, you know what? That's not an attitude of someone who understands that God's going to do what He said. You know, if you're responding to something that way, you may just be adding a little bit of time to what you're going to go through. You know what I mean? Do you want to add a little bit of time to it? No. So start acting like you believe God's going to do something and He's got your life in His control. Perseverance is not a call to hang on and do nothing, but to work deliberately, knowing that God will never what? Never be defeated. Praise God. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39 say? Do we have that? Or do I need to turn and read that? Have we got that? I'll read it then. Let me get to it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39 says this. Let me be sure I'm at the right chapter. Okay. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are of those who believe and are saved. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, don't get frustrated about the imperfections of life. Jesus has factored all those imperfections into the plan. Now, if you really feel like if something needs to happen quicker than the government told you, boy, if you want to learn perseverance, deal with the government. If something needs to happen quicker than what the imperfections of the world are saying, then you pray about it. God can work outside and inside the imperfections of the world. I've seen Him do it. I remember David Adams is in here somewhere probably. He's out walking. Not listening to me. He's out walking. No, I'm just kidding. I remember David applied for a job in Itasca. Well, you can imagine how many job openings are in Itasca, Texas. Anybody ever been to Itasca before? Oh yeah. There's only 7 people in the town, so one job opening came open, you know what I mean? And there were 7 people. No, there were 125 applicants for that one job in Itasca. David was driving to Arlington, an hour at least a day from Itasca, one way to go to work. They came to us and we were all talking and they said, boy, we'd really like to have that. David would love to have that job in Itasca. It's only 7 to 10 minutes from the house. Well, naturally, you look at the world and you go 125 applicants. The opportunities are definitely against that. Well, you know, we just began to pray. And guess what? David got the job because it was God. God can work through and outside of those things. But remember, if you're having to stand in line, anybody having to stand in line for something right now? Anybody? So I'm talking to 3 people in here. If you're having to stand in line, be at peace because God has factored that into the plan. And let Him work on your perseverance. Some of you really need it in the matter of traffic. I know that's where I lose it, is in traffic. It's a good thing that I don't have a license to carry. Because I'm really afraid sometimes that I would pull the gun out in traffic. I wouldn't shoot anybody. Maybe their car. I might shoot their car. But I wouldn't shoot anyone. I would not. I do understand. I can't do that. But boy, don't you just feel like waving it around at people sometimes? I was down here not too long ago, about to exit down here on Team Ranch Road, and this guy flew by me. I mean, the speed limit is not 130. This is not the Autobahn or whatever that place is in Germany. Right out here. And the guy went by me so fast, threw a rock up, hit my windshield, and cracked it. For the 3rd time this year. 3rd time my windshield's been cracked. I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord immediately did not come on me. Anybody understand? I said, that's not an imperfection of the world. That's a devil. And I'm going to chase him down and do something to him. I was so mad. And my wife always says, remember who you are. When those things begin to happen, remember who you are. Not you're a pastor, you're a believer. All right? Oh, I understand what it's like, and that's what gets me. And And sometimes I just feel like pulling up next to people and saying, are you stupid? You know what I mean? But God is working perseverance in me and patience in me and preference in me. Go ahead. This is what I'll say sometimes. You ever notice people with the most expensive cars drive the fastest on the freeway? Anybody ever notice that or cut you off? Sometimes I'll say this, go ahead. After all, you have the most expensive car. We are nothing. The rest of us are nothing in this world. Please, please, you go ahead. Go ahead and go. You know what I mean? The rest of us who are nothing, we'll defer to you. Where you're going is more important than where we're going. It has to be. You have a BMW. You have a Mercedes or whatever. I know, that's enough. God's using that in my life. He's using that. That's one of the crosses. He says, get up on that cross and let me kill you so that something that looks like me can be raised to life. Hallelujah. I thank God for the imperfections of this world. But they'll be there, so don't get discouraged by them. Just let God work perseverance in you. The second thing I want to talk about real quickly today is something called resistance from people. Now, I know none of you have ever had any resistance from people. So this is probably not going to hit very many folks today. Verse 1 in James chapter 4 talks about conflicts with people. Now, when you have unity of purpose among a group of people, that breeds teamwork. While selfish desires produce conflict. Now, it's a goal of the enemy to come inside this corporate body and cause selfishness. That's a goal of the enemy in order to destroy unity and create fights and wars. Our greatest danger is not from the enemy. Our greatest danger is from each other. Really, I mean, we are the greatest asset outside of the blood of Jesus. We're also the greatest danger. The enemy can't stop us. He can't stop what God wants to do when we're in agreement with Him and marching together in unity. He can't stop that. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. There is no amount of resistance that he can deploy against us that can stop us if we're moving in God. It is in the place where there's unity that God commands a blessing. God says, look at the unity there. I release a blessing upon that. It's my desire to do that. But when we begin to get our eyes off of God and get our eyes on people, then war breaks out. War starts happening. And our battle's not against flesh and blood. And some of you haven't figured that out yet. Your war's not against flesh and blood. To stop resistance from people, we've got to have unity of purpose. Some of you in your marriages are just fighting with one another. You know why? Because there is no unity of purpose. Selfish desire is running rampant. You know how you stop that? I'm going to give you it'll save you thousands of dollars in counseling. Thousands. Somebody in that relationship needs to stop what they're doing and say, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I don't care what the other person does. Because most of us are so focused on what the other one's doing. What are they doing? How are they responding? What are they doing? Well, if they're not going to do it, I'm not either. God's looking for somebody who says, I'll do what you tell me to do. And man, when you do that, I'm not saying that'll make the war cease, but you have dealt a death blow to it. Because God can finally step in now and begin to work. He's been looking for a way in, but y'all are so busy wrestling with each other and fighting with each other. He says, let me in, and you're so busy fighting. And then somebody said, come on into this, God, we need you. I need you. Some of you are so busy trying to fix your partner, you can't even hear God. You think you're your partner's Holy Spirit. Who appointed you the Holy Spirit? I want to know that. I learned a long time ago, God didn't call me to change her, and she's too hard-headed to change for me, and so I can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? The more I get involved in trying to change her, the more resistance comes up on her part. the more resentment. Even if she does what I want her to do, she'll do it. She may be standing up on the outside, but on the inside, she's sitting down. You understand what I mean? It's like, you don't love me. You just want me to change me. You just want me the way you do and what you want me to do, how and when you want me to do it. And that's all you're really wanting. Brothers and sisters, nobody called it. I'm not saying we don't live in people, but in front of people, the gospel. But some of you guys are working so hard on each other. Stop it. This, now, I'll give you permission. Look at your spouse and say, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Now, we're going to stop something and we're going to do something. What are we going to do? We're going to submit to God. I've counseled married couples before where I finally said, I'm not counseling you guys anymore. Not going to do it. Why not? You're the pastor. You're supposed to bear along with us until Jesus comes. I'm going to say, well, Jesus, where is Jesus in this thing? He's not anywhere. Neither one of you want Jesus. You just want what you want. And so as long as that's going on, I'll tell you what, you go on home, think about it. If you ever get to the place where you are going to make a decision to let God get involved in it, call me. I'll be here. But until then, y'all are wearing me out. And I've got more things that I can be focused on rather than a couple of billy goats butting one another. When you transform into a sheep, call me back. Okay. But have you ever worked around billy goats? Some of you guys grew up on a farm. You ever worked around them? You bend over around them? You better watch out. They'll knock you down. One time I was in, little kid, I was in there with my grandparents, and we were feeding this guy's billy goats across the street from us because he was on vacation. And I bent down to pick something up, and that billy goat butted me in the rear end, and my head went into the chicken pen and everything. And, you know, I looked at him, and I thought, you know how you are? You're like, cabrito tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, cabrito's back on the menu, boys. All right. So if you're in a group of people, let's say you've got a business or a marriage, and there's wars or fights going on in that marriage or in that company, it's going to continue till you get unity of purpose. You're going to have to sit everybody down and say, look, God's put us together. We're in this thing together. We're going to have unity of purpose. All right? We're not going anywhere without it. And if it's your workplace, then you can give somebody a chance. And if they decide they don't want to walk with you, you may have to invite them to join somebody else's organization. But I'm going to tell you, without unity of purpose, it breaks down into fighting. Now, it's normal to get resisted by those who don't love God if you love the Lord. Satan works through people just like God does. But even then, our battle's not against flesh and blood. Is it? If you're fighting with them and you think they're the problem, then you haven't gotten to the real enemy yet. The real enemy's standing over there laughing. He's so distracted, he can't even deploy any forces against me. I'm getting away scot-free here. I'm acting and getting away with whatever I want to do. Now, so if the resistance is in the corporate body, you better make a move to restore unity. If it's from unbelievers, what do you do? I know we live in Texas, but no, we don't kill. Okay? We pray for people. We pray for people. We consider the fact that God may have allowed them in your life for a reason. Some of you are so grateful for all the blessings that look like blessings. There's a blessing here. And then you get some things in your life, and I know they're aggravating. But if God is sovereign, did he allow everything? If he's sovereign, he allowed it. And so you need to say, God, I don't like this, but you're teaching me something here. And instead of focusing on what they're doing or what they're not doing, I'm going to get before you and I'm going to find out how I'm supposed to respond to this. And I'm going to get some people praying with me about this thing. And I'm going to take control away from this thing.
That's right. That's right.
By doing what God tells me to do. As long as you're responding in the flesh, then you're just continually giving the devil a stick to hit you over the head with. Okay? Love them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Love your enemies. Love them. And deal with them in fearlessness. Okay, don't be afraid. The Bible says that if we have fear around the lost, then then we're not believing who we are. We don't need to be afraid. We just need to love. We need to pray. We need to take control away from the flesh and start acting in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. And God can work even in a flock of donkeys. A herd of donkeys. Or as the Bible says, a herd of asses. God can work in a herd. He can. And asses will respond to the Lord's voice if God is speaking with authority. Okay? But you can't operate in authority when you're responding out of the Spirit and responding according to the flesh. If you're going to have resistance from people. Some of you've got resistance in your own family. You've got family members. God's told you to do something, and you got family members telling you, you can't do that. Are you crazy? I remember when I told my father I was called in the ministry, I remember what he said. He said, oh, no. I told y'all the story. He said, there's two things about that are bad. He said, you'll never have any money. And he said, and the second thing is people are mean. He says, Parky, they're mean. Well, he was right on both of those accounts. but you know what? We got to follow the Spirit. You're not going to, we're going to stand before God soon and very soon, all of us. Not for our salvation if you're saved. Not for judgment over whether we're saved or not. But he's going to look at us and say, what did you do with what I told you to do and what I gave you? What'd you do with it? And he's going to reward you. Some people say, I just want to be a street sweeper in heaven. I just don't care what I do. Well, it's easy to say that now when you're not there. I'm telling you, I don't want that. If you want that job, you can have it. When I get to heaven, I don't care about accolades here on the earth. But boy, when I get to heaven, I want them to look at me and say, I know who you are. I know who you are. I'm jealous over that. Anybody else jealous over that? And brothers and sisters, we're going to have resistance to that here on the earth. Now, next week, we'll talk about resistance from the devil and resistance from God.